ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares by you. Now, that's kind of interesting. We've just talked about humility and pride, and Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares about you. What does that have to do with what we've just been talking about? Humility? It fits in perfectly. Pride says what? I got it. I can take care of this, no problem. That's pride. But humility says, Lord, I can't do this at all. I cannot do this on my own. I need you to guide me, to strengthen me, to be with me. You see, Paul said, I can do all things through myself because I'm so great. No, through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from Christ, I can't do this. But in Christ, I can. You know, I've told you before, I hate speaking in front of people. Now, the Lord has really worked on my heart over the years, but speaking in front of people was one of the most, it caused fear in my heart. And what does God do? You're going to be a pastor one day. I can't do it. Lord, you have to. And that's the great thing. He will equip you for the work he wants you to do. Now, there were times, and sometimes they do happen again, where Sunday morning, Thursday evening, I'm here sitting in the front row and we're getting started. And I'm like, or the devil is like, that's the message you put together. Are you kidding me? That is horrible. And it's just, I'm like, oh my, what am I going to do? It's like, I got to go up in 20 minutes after worship. I can't put a study together. And all of a sudden, here comes Art and the worship team. And we start worshiping God. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to focus on the Lord. And by the time that last song's done and Art's praying, I'm ready to go. I stopped listening to the devil. I started listening to the Lord and the message that he gave me. We got to keep that in mind. Yes, the devil loves to discourage us. But if God has called you, you take those steps of faith and see what he's going to do. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Don't worry. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You know, remember the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy"? There's a better one. Don't worry, trust in the Lord. That's what we need to do. And God will take care of us because he cares for us. Are there times we feel, God, I don't see you helping me out in this. It looks bad. Do you really care for me? God does. And he's faithful. He loves you. And you need to give it to him. Lay it at his feet. And we see this over and over in the scriptures where God says, do not fear. I'm so thankful that those words are there. Do not fear. And a lot of times, like in Joshua, it's over and over again. Why? Because Joshua was fearful. You mean this great man of God was fearful? Yeah. And God is saying, Joe, don't be fearful. And to each one of you, don't be fearful. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. That's a great lesson. And we need to give it to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Your emotions, your thoughts. We have to give it to him or we're going to break. And have you ever been at that point where you're just one thing after another, you're placing upon your shoulders and you're just going down, down, and you're ready, your back's ready to break. Spurgeon used the illustration of this man who he came to move some furniture and he had this huge, heavy backpack on it that he was carrying. And he was complaining that it was just too difficult to do the job of moving this person's furniture. Well, if you saw him with that heavy backpack on, trying to carry the furniture, wouldn't you say to him, wouldn't it be easier to lay all those burdens aside so that you can carry these? Yeah. We cannot do God's work when we're weighed down by our own burdens and worries. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you ever think the Lord is like, oh no, Joe's going to give me something else to carry? No, he can carry everything. My problems do not trouble God at all. So why am I carrying them? Because they trouble me. Just lay them at his feet. Lord, help us to surrender our lives completely to you, right? Look at verses 8 and 9 now here in 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, or watchful, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. This is where we fail many times. We don't recognize Satan as a roaring lion, trying to destroy our faith, to destroy our lives, to destroy our witness. And they must have had this problem, because Peter says, you know, be sober. Don't be taking in these intoxicating influences that the world has given to you. Balance your life with the things of God. Be vigilant or watchful. Pay attention to what's going on. Why? Because the devil is stalking us as a lion would his prey. He wants to devour us. Spurgeon said he can never be content till he sees the believer utterly devoured. He would rend him in pieces and break his bones and utterly destroy him if he could. Do not, therefore, indulge the thought that the main purpose of Satan is to make you miserable. He is pleased with that, but that is not his ultimate end. Sometimes he may even make you happy, for he hath dainty poisons sweet to the taste which he administers to God's people. If he feels that our destruction can be more readily achieved by sweets than by bitters, he certainly would prefer that which would be best effect, which would best affect his end. Absolutely. Look at all that's going on in this world today. And we need to pay attention, because the world is trying to conform us into its image. And it's a battle. And the secret to this spiritual warfare, stand strong in the faith. You know, we're not casting out demons, because first of all, Christians can't be demon-possessed. I remember years ago, one of the pastors, he was told that he had the demon of baldness because he was bald. So he cast that demon out, you grow your hair back? I don't know. Here's the thing. We resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. I'm sure you've watched the National Geographic and all these shows that show the wild animals. Who do lions go after? Do they go after the strong, healthy creatures that are out there? No, they go after the weak, those that aren't paying attention, those that have wandered from the group. I mean, you know, I've seen water buffalo. One's being attacked and this lion's on it, and here's these water buffalo attacking the lion, trying to get him off to save him. Why? Because with a fellowship of believers, there's strength. So what the devil does is he gets us out on our own. Like with the whole COVID thing, it separated everyone, and it still is. And the devil loves to attack that way. Satan is the father of lies, the Bible tells us. It's his natural language. So why do we talk with him? Why are we trying to debate with him? This is what the Word of God says, I'm done. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? It is written, when he was speaking to the devil, it is written. Here it is, end of story, I'm moving on. When he whispers in your ear, God doesn't love you anymore. It is written, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. End of story. I'm trusting what God's word says. You're the father of lies. Why am I listening to you? This is what God's word says. I'm moving on. It saves a lot of hassle in our lives and a lot of discouragement and frustration. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." It's not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle we face. And we win this battle by resisting him in the faith. And I like what Peter says. He says, look, guys, these same sufferings you're experiencing happen to our other brothers and sisters all over the place. Don't be discouraged. This is not just happening to you. I think that's important for us to understand. We look at what's going on in our nation today, and, you know, it is frustrating. But we have to understand what's happening with our brothers in China, in Iran, in Iraq, in Jordan, other parts of the world. What's happening to them? Many are being put to death. They're being persecuted for their faith. They're being thrown in prison. Like Peter said, hey, yeah, what you're going through, understand others are going through it too. Don't lose hope. Don't be surprised by it. What should we do? Be prepared. Now, as we get into spring, what are we going to be watching for? Well, we're going to be warned. There's tornado warning, tornado watch, right? What does that tell you? Be prepared. There's a chance that a tornado may happen. We need to be prepared for what is coming down the pike, you might say, in this country. Because it's already happening to our brothers and sisters throughout the world. And I think the winds of persecution are picking up, and they're going to increase as we get closer to the Lord's return. Paul told Timothy, yes, and all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I think we all understood that verse, you know, 20, 30 years ago. We understood what Paul was saying. But look at where we're at today. And when you stand up for godliness, they attack you. They come after you. Because light exposes the darkness. And they don't like it. And so you will be persecuted for what you believe in. Look at the law they're trying to pass in Washington right now. I don't think it's going to go through yet, but I think it will eventually. That you will not be able to say anything against the homosexual lesbian community anymore. You won't be able to say that it's a sin. You won't be able to teach parts of the Bible. Yeah, really? Sorry. I obey God rather than man on that one. I'm not going to say that this is no longer a sin because I don't want to offend people. Sin is offensive. Think about before you got saved. When someone said, you know what, you're a sinner and you need Jesus, how did you feel? Oh, thank you very much. I'm so glad you told me I'm a sinner. No, you were, hey, I'm a good person. The light exposes the darkness. And if we start ignoring it, which is what the church is doing today, we're ignoring sin, saying it's okay, we're in trouble. Why? Like I said earlier, pastors, teachers, all of us are accountable before God for what we're bringing forth, what we're teaching. Psalm 34:19, just in case you're a little nervous, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He's in control. He is not going to let anything happen that he's not aware of. He knows all things, and he will use these things not only to build us up, but to draw others to himself. Never forget that. Look at verse 10. 1 Peter 5, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, it would be wonderful if we called to glory without having to suffer, right? I mean, think about it. You know, we would love that. Hey, just taking up the glory, life was good. But that's not how it worked. Jesus is our example. We're going to suffer. And God will use those things that happen in our lives to perfect our faith, establish our faith, strengthen our faith, settling our faith, and then we're taken home to glory. To him be glory, Peter says, and the dominion forever and ever. And he goes, amen. So be it. Our God can do this for us, and he's worthy of our praise. And we will suffer for a while. There is no doubt about it. Paul in Romans 8, verses 16 through 18. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we'd like to end there. Then it says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You think about it. All that you're going through, and sometimes it's horrendous, isn't it? It's so difficult. But compare that to eternity. I look at my life right now, and I think, you know, I'm on fast forward with the VHS tape, if you know what a VHS tape is. It's like, you know, we're getting into March, right? Where did it go? Before you know it, I'll be preparing for VBS, and VBS will be gone, and then it'll be Prophecy Update 2020. What? We just did 2020. That's how fast time is going. It's very short. Again, Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where are you focused? See, if we're focused on this world, then all the things we're seeing in this country, in Washington, all the things that are going on, overwhelming. We're focused on the Lord. Hey, it's but for a moment, right? It's not going to last forever. These are temporary. And all this stuff is going to go away. And the Lord is coming back. And he's going to set up his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. I don't know. I'll take that. That works for me. I don't have to be disheartened or discouraged or disillusioned by the sufferings, because they're going to come for a while. But again, we're going to be taken to glory. So to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Peter, as he's closing here, got these concluding remarks. Look at verse 12. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Silvanus, or Silas, Paul, he accompanied Paul on a second missionary journey. We see that in Acts 15:40. And remember what happened. You know, Paul was preparing for this journey. Barnabas wanted to take his cousin Mark. And Paul said, no way. You know, Mark was with us on our first journey. He bailed out on us. He went home, left us without his help. So I'm not taking him again. And they ended up splitting. These men of God, Barnabas and Mark, went to Cyprus to minister. Paul and Silas went through Syria and Cilicia and on to Macedonia and Achaia before returning home to Caesarea. And Peter says, look, I wrote this brief letter. Why? Exhorting you guys of the true grace of God. What it's all about. Why? So you guys could stand strong in the midst of this persecution. And what I want you to see is, Peter didn't say, exhorting and testifying that this is the true law of God in which you stand. Some want you to believe that way, but he said, the grace of God. The grace of God in which you stand. You know, you can't mix law and grace together, because as soon as you put the law with grace, it's no longer grace. Now you earned something. You kept the law. You were a good person. God owes you something. Grace is, you don't deserve anything, but God freely gives us heaven. Wow. I like that. Paul said in Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Again, what's the point? Why did Jesus come if we could just be good enough, right? It's all grace. We're saved by grace, we stand by grace, and one day we'll be taken to glory by the grace of God. As Peter wrote, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Verse 13, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Now, Babylon, what is this speaking of? Some say it's literal Babylon. I don't think that's what Peter's writing about. There's a place in Egypt that was known as Babylon. Again, a military fortress near present-day Cairo. But again, I don't think that's what Peter is writing about. I think as we began this letter, I said that it was probably a title for Rome. And the idea was idolatry, immorality. That's what Babylon was known for. And the church in Rome is greeting the church in Asia Minor. Why would he use Babylon? Well, it's kind of a code name. You know, Peter didn't want to get in more trouble with Rome or get anyone else in trouble when he wrote this letter to these people in Asia Minor. So he uses Babylon as kind of a code word. I think that's the idea. But the interesting thing, this church in Rome is greeting the church in Asia Minor, like I said. They're not competing. They're not jockeying for position. Just brethren loving each other in the Lord, encouraging each other, seeing, wanting to see the kingdom of God grow. Isn't that what it's all about? You know, it's not about, well, you know, in heaven there'll be Calvary Chapel of Manitowoc over here and this church over there. No, it's called the Bride of Christ. We're all with the Lord together. There's no churches there. There's the Bride of Christ there. And that needs to be our heart. I like also Peter calls Mark his son. You think, well, why? It could be that Peter built Mark up in the faith. It seems that Mark's gospel was written out of the information that Peter shared with Mark. Now, remember the division, though, that happened between Paul and Mark. I like that we're told it was healed, that there was restoration. In 2 Timothy 4:11, the last part of it, it says, Paul says to Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Oh, they're working together again for Christ. Now, who was right or wrong? The Bible never says, because that's not the issue. This wasn't an issue of doctrine. This was an issue of pretty much feelings. And so we see forgiveness, restoration, and what a great example. And listen to the conclusion of this letter. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Peter concludes with a command to greet and display God's love to one another. Give them a blessing of peace. Love for each other, peace for each other. Think about it. They're living in dangerous times, persecution. They needed that. Here's the thing, and I'll kind of bring it to an end here. I don't care what you're going through. The love of God and the peace of God in the midst of suffering will help you extend the love of God and the peace of God to others in the midst of these tough times. And isn't that what we're to do? Absolutely. Warren Wiersbe said, Peter closed on a positive note and reminded his readers that God knew what he was doing and was in complete control. No matter how difficult the fiery trial may become, a Christian always has hope. Peter has given to us a precious letter that encourages us to hope in the Lord, no matter how trying the times may be. Down through the centuries, the church has experienced various fiery trials, yet Satan has not been able to destroy it. The church today is facing a fiery trial, and we must be prepared. But whatever may come, Peter is still saying to each of us, be hopeful. The glory is soon to come. Remember, guys, what this letter was all about. Where Christ is, there is hope. Never forget that. Again, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these wonderful words of Peter, especially in the days we're living in. I think the timing is amazing. Where Christ is, there is hope. That's the point of this letter. Through the darkest of times, the persecution, all this stuff, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to shine for him. Lord, you suffered immensely And now, as your servants, we too suffer for the faith. Help us to stand strong, to shine brightly for you, Lord, and to encourage others, other believers who may be struggling during these difficult times, and to let the unsaved see the hope we have in Jesus, that they want to have that kind of hope. We love you so much. Thank you for your patience and how you work with us, and you never give up. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.